we 6 weeks into isolation. That's like the equivalent of school holidays. As a kid, I used to think the school holidays went on forever. And now I get why that is, because 6 weeks is a long time. So for those of you new to the Ouch Cabin Fever podcast, I'm Kate Monahan. I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is a chronic pain condition in all my joints. And I'm isolating with my wife, Holly, and our three-year-old daughter, Scout. Holly has had a kidney transplant and so is on immunosuppressants, so that means she has no immune system. So we're being super strict and we've cut ourselves off from the outside world a week or so before the rest of the UK did. For those of you that are regular listeners, you'll know that the last 6 weeks have been full of nerve-wracking food deliveries, experimental haircuts, and debates between Holly and I if we're doing the right thing. And to be honest, we're still not sure if we're doing the right thing. But I'm bringing my recording equipment with me every step of the way so you can hear what it's really like in our household, and I'm always honest. This is basically my online audio diary. Pass me that guitar and I'll see if I can find Frozen if you want. See if I can work out how to play it.
No, but I just want it more.
But Mama has to do some work.
No, but just 1 minute.
No, don't just pull me off, Bubs, because I'm sitting working. Just to set the scene here, I'm sitting trying to work. And Holly and Scout both got guitars that they don't know how to play. And singing. It's really conducive to work.
I think you just need to just join in, Kate.
Everything will make sense.
It's a good line, Scout.
That's what Olaf sings.
Is it?
Yeah.
When you're older, everything will make sense.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Olaf.
It doesn't always work out that way. So, we've just had another battle with Scout over dinner time. It's just really difficult because she's never been like an amazing eater. So we've been like fairly kind of relaxed about food and just like, oh, you know, she'll eat when she's hungry and, you know, there's some vegetables that she'll eat and stuff. But one of the things that made us relaxed about food was because at preschool, she would get good food that she'd actually eat. Like she'd eat so much random stuff at preschool that she'd never eat here. Sardine curry, they made them one day. And I was like, there's no way she ate it. And she was like, they were like, yeah, Scout ate all her lunch. And she was like, I had all my lunch today. And I was like, why will you eat that there? But she does. And they put like, hello, Milo. They'll put loads of vegetables into her food and she just eats them happily. So we've always been like, oh, it's fine that she doesn't eat that much. But then here at home, she's just started to like reduce the amount of food that she will eat so much. You know, we make her nice food and then she just refuses to eat it. And I know everyone says kids won't go hungry, but she just kind of seems to. And then at night time, she'll just have snack bars before she goes to bed to fill up. So it's not like the worst thing in the world, but like it's just adding another layer of stress that we just don't need. And she doesn't have now, obviously she's not going to preschool, she doesn't have that time of where she'll eat because all her friends are eating, and it doesn't matter whether we sit at the table with her and we're all eating together, or whether we let her go and sit in front of the telly, or whether we let her eat outside, or we make it into a picnic. We've tried so many different things. Yeah, I'm sort of losing the will with it a little bit, and I don't really know what to do.
Oh my gosh, what are you doing?
I'm cleaning out the
drawers. Why are all of my things all over the floor?
Oh, look, and you look, that's necklaces you used to wear.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking for those.
Yeah.
I just got a nice call from the government.
You got a call from the government?
Yeah, I just picked up my phone. It was a random number.
Yeah.
And a very nice man asked me if I was doing okay and whether I had enough food to eat.
Oh my god, that's so cute.
It was really sweet. And he was like, are you keeping well? And who's the vulnerable person in your house? And
oh, did he not think it was you?
No, they never do.
Yeah, because you sound fine.
Yeah. And he asked if we needed a government food box.
Oh, what did he say?
I said no.
Good, because we don't. I don't want to take it from someone else.
No, I said we had managed to get a delivery slot in the supermarket, and then he suggested another supermarket, and I've got loads of slots available, which I hadn't thought of.
Oh, right, who's that?
Iceland.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, apparently they've opened up loads of slots this weekend, so that was quite a good one to try. But yeah, it was just nice to be called and checked, because I could have been starving and alone for all he knows.
I mean, it's taken 5 weeks, but...
Yeah, but you know, a lot of people, and I'm not on the top of the list of meeting people. And on the government form I filled in, I think you got a few options. One was like, have no food, need help, and I clicked the one that have help, you know, with neighbours and stuff, so it wasn't like as desperate.
Oh, that's good. Mm. Yeah, they must be going through the priority list. That's so cute. I kind of love that.
I know, it made me feel all warm inside.
So, I'm in my car on the way to the recycling, because this is as exciting as my life gets. I swear, if you told me on December 31st of 2019 this would be the highlight of my week, then I would have said you are crazy loon. But look where we are now. Oh, I've gone the wrong way. Never mind. I'm not in any rush to go anywhere else, so I can have the time to go the wrong way. I'm going to recycling, and it's my one time when I am out of the house and I'm on my own and I can breathe. I feel like, no offence, I know I keep having to say this, but I do love her very much. It's just very challenging day to day with a 3-year-old who is a very extroverted 3-year-old. Like, she will say hello and talk to anybody. When people walk past our garden, she shouts at them so that she can have a conversation with somebody who isn't us. We've had a funny couple of days. I think Holly's really feeling it now. We're into week 6 of being isolated and Holly not going anywhere. And she's done so well, like really well, not getting out of the house. And also she started to see people posting her uncle has got cancer and he's doing chemotherapy, and he got told today that he would probably need to be locked down until Christmas. And he obviously messaged her about it because she is in, you know, he knows she's in a similar boat. Not that she's got cancer, thankfully, but that she's one of the people who is shielding from life. Yeah, he told her that it's looking like it's going to be till Christmas, and that upset her quite a lot. And it's totally understandable that that upset her. Like, when we're in our home, I feel safe. Like, we feel safe in our house and in our garden, we feel safe. And then something small will happen and we're like, we get a delivery, and then it's like, oh, okay, let's be really careful about this. And then like, I'll go out of the house and I'll touch something, or Scout will touch something, and then I'll notice like she touches her jumper, or I notice that I tuck my hair behind my ear. If you don't keep control of it, your brain just starts going like, right, is the virus here? Is it in my hair? Do I have to go home and have a full shower? And it's really tempting to like want to go home and have a full shower. But we can't do that. Like, that's not possible, that every time we come back into the house, we decontaminate completely. Because the first thing Scout does, although we have taught her now that she has to go and wash her hands before she goes and hugs Holly, we can't be like, right, all clothes off, into the shower you go. I feel like a lot of pressure to keep Holly alive. I feel like if she gets the virus, it will be something that I've done. It will be something that I've missed, and that it will be my responsibility because I didn't do something. That's quite a hard thing to have on your shoulders. Yeah, I would never forgive myself. And yet, I also find that as time goes on and nothing's happened, I do feel like I'm getting more complacent about certain things and thinking that certain things are okay. And maybe I shouldn't. But we spend our whole time telling Scout, like, we're fine. There's nothing to worry about. Don't worry about it. We're fine. Like, we're not going to get the virus. And it's almost like we talk ourselves into that as well. It won't happen to me. It won't happen to me. It could do. And it's just like, where is the limit? Where is the risk-benefit analysis of what we're doing, getting Scout out of the house to go to feed the ducks? What's the cost-benefit analysis for mental health versus physical health? And I think it's really frustrating because Holly doesn't feel ill, and she's not an ill person. It's actually me that struggles much more day-to-day than she ever does. But she's the one that has to be stuck. She's the one that we're shielding. She's the one we're doing all of this for. And I feel quite a lot of pressure. And it's quite a lot.
But you know what? The sun's shining, and I'm sure you're bored of me saying it, but the weather makes such a difference. Being able to be in the garden, Scout being able to be on her trampoline to get rid of her energy is really important, and it's great, and long may it last, seriously. We're grateful that none of us are ill. The tiniest bit of me just thinks I'd want to just get it and get it done with, and then we're done and we can move on. And it's like, okay, well, we've done it now and everyone's come through it and now we can go back to normal life. And I do wonder how many people feel like that. How many people are thinking, actually, I'd rather just have it than have to stay in all the time. And that if the government start this kind of traffic light system of green people who've had it and they can move around freely, are people going to go out of their way to get it? I don't know, is that crazy? Would people do that? Would we do that? No, we wouldn't do that. Definitely wouldn't do that. But like I say, tiny part of me thinks it would be easier that way. Anyway, I've arrived at the recycling and I have a job to do so I can feel useful. So I'm going to go and do it. Okay, just taking a rare moment of quiet to try and do some DIY. I'm trying to hammer in the world's tiniest mirror for our daughter's bedroom. Anyway, what were you saying just a minute ago? Well, it's a beautiful day and I was saying how I'd love to be outside right now. Like, well, outside, no. I mean, I'd love to go for a walk right now and see something different other than our garden. So I said, do you want to? Like, do you want us to make that happen somehow?
I don't think I can, really. Until everything relaxes a bit, I just think it'd be a stupid thing to do. I think if I went out for a walk in the sunshine and I went to feed the ducks, like he takes Scout to, I'd feel a big boost in, like, you know, serotonin and, like, yes, I'm outside. And
yeah.
It's just not worth the risk, is it? I mean, even though you don't really see anyone, I don't know.
We can go out without seeing anybody.
I know, but then it feels like breaking the rules. The thing is, we do it once and I'd be like, oh, that was so nice yesterday. Oh my God, those ducklings, blah, blah, blah.
Ducklings are cute.
And then, I know.
Sorry.
I'd want to do it again and again. Like, well, I was fine the other day and it's just not, I mean.
Weren't you reading on Facebook last night about somebody? Because you felt really down last night, didn't you? It's because people were saying that lockdown for shielded people is going to last.
Yeah.
Like a year.
Well, yeah, I've read a year, I've read 18 months, I've read till autumn, I've read all sorts of things. There's people at the moment talking about how, you know, 3 weeks' time, I mean, some people say 3 weeks' time they're going to be going back to school and stuff, and I don't know if I believe that, but still, in 3 weeks' time, maybe everything will be lifted a bit.
But not for you.
Not for me, and it's almost easier that everyone's on lockdown. At the moment, do you remember the first week when we were on lockdown and no one else was?
Yeah, that was really hard.
It was really hard, and I mean, people kind of say, well, I think, you know, don't know why you're bothering, but also
I'm just going to hammer this in now.
Oh,
are
God.
You ready?
Watch your fingers.
Okay. That didn't go in the wall. Why didn't it go in the wall?
Because you don't know what you're doing. Get those Velcro things again.
Anyway, we were talking about the lockdown finishing, but yeah, it was a lot easier when Now everyone's in the same boat. Hey, come back.
Sorry. Yes, Milo. Yeah, and everyone will be excited and doing stuff, and I'll be like...
Arr. And if people start going back to school and stuff...
Like, that means Scout wouldn't...
No, the only way she could go back is if she then isolated from you for, like, 14 days after she'd done her run at preschool.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least it's not proper school, is it? You know, it's optional that she's at school at the moment, so... Well.
And also, she doesn't understand.
And she's not that fast.
Well, no, she'd rather be here with us, I reckon. But she does miss her friends.
Yeah, she does.
I think more than anything, we miss having her going to preschool.
Well, yeah, but then we don't have any real work anyway, so...
You're on a downer today.
No, I'm not. I've had a really nice day.
Okay. Is it just that I ruined the wall, so...
Yeah!
Okay.
Please stop doing DIY.
As ever, you've been sending us in your amazing emails. I've just been reading one of them. Hello? Oh, she's talking to the cat, not me. I thought Holly was talking to me. Oh, hi.
Hi. What are you doing?
Recording.
What are you recording?
Well, we've had a very lovely email, hon.
Oh, let's see.
This one is from Laura, age 28, from Derbyshire, who says that she's been really enjoying the Ouch Cabin Fever episodes, and she's been doing what I've been doing, which is avoiding a lot of the COVID-19 discussions because it's overwhelming. But Ouch is the exception because it's so relatable and human. Have you been told you're relatable and human before? No.
No.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is really nice. I'm glad people are actually listening.
But yeah, so Laura, thank you for your email. And it's really nice to hear that you're having a similar time with your endometriosis. I say nice to hear, but it's not nice that you're having trouble. Holly's just doing her pills over there. I'm sorry you're having problems with yours as well. It really sucks. Missing surgery is awful, isn't it? It just is awful. Oh, why are you taking those tablets? Is it weird taking immunosuppressants when you're like need a good immune system at the moment?
I mean, you need a good immune system at all times, don't you? So I've just kind of got used to taking it for 12 years. So no.
You don't think about it anymore at this point?
No, because the most important thing to me, apart from obviously not getting COVID, is keeping my kidney safe. And that means I need to trick it into staying in my body, basically.
Just tell me, in layman's terms, why immunosuppressants work. Like, why do you have to not have an immune system?
Because my kidney's like a foreign body, isn't it? It's come from someone else. And so we need to stop my body fighting it and going, what the hell is this in your body? You know, we need to reject it.
So that your immune system would fight it off, thinking that it was something bad?
Something bad. It's like if you get a splinter, you know, your body pushes it out, doesn't it, eventually? Because, you know, it needs to get it out. That's what my body would do. It would reject it. I'd go into rejection.
Laura, sorry, we keep getting off the beaten track here. But she's suggesting doing yoga in absence of your normal swimming, and she says it helps. And she also says it's sort of annoying because it's the kind of irritating thing people suggest to me when I mention pain or anxiety. Have you tried yoga? Rolly eyes emoji. Turns out it's quite helpful. Damn it. That is my response, is please don't tell me to do yoga because everyone tells me to do flipping yoga.
Yeah, you did try it for a bit, didn't you? And it didn't go too well.
No, but I think I did, like, I think, like, I need, what's the word? An accessible version of yoga, like a modified.
I wonder if that exists. Or you could modify it yourself, though. Just don't do things that you know is going to hurt.
Yeah.
Don't eat so much chocolate and cake.
Yeah, I'm exactly. I was gonna say, I don't think you can speak on that subject.
No, I definitely can't. I'm gonna be rolling out this house.
Yeah, I think we all are. Which is fine, like, I don't mind, but also I don't really want to put on loads of weight because it's just not healthy.
It's not good for your joints either, is it?
It's really bad for my joints, and it's really starting to feel it.
Mm.
Anyway, you know what I'm gonna say? Because we're climbing into bed.
Yeah.
It's time for...
And what did I say to you a couple of days ago? Well, there's my isolation issue then, isn't it? As I stormed off.
Hey, let me do the thing.
Don't do the song.
It's time for isolation issues. Issues.
That was like a bit more of a mixy version.
Yeah, that was the remix.
God. Right. I'm going to start this time because I never start.
Go on then.
I'm just going to continue stroking Felix. He's purring nicely. You kind of think you're like a DIY superwoman.
No,
my turn to talk. The thing is, that's all, you know, really nice and stuff. But you don't consult any instructions. You don't watch any videos. You don't call anyone. So when anything breaks, you just kind of like get out this toolbox, dust it off, and just start attacking whatever it is. You were going to put up a mirror the other day. You'd no idea how to do it. And 2 seconds later, you'd got a chunk out of the wall. I don't even know how it happened.
Oh my God, I just did a nervous fart.
That's so normal around here. You're going to blame your endo or something now, aren't you?
Okay, my turn.
Okay.
You got loo rolls out of the bottom of the stairs today, like under the stairs cupboard.
Yes, I did.
You got loo rolls out, and then you just left them.
On the bottom of the stairs. It's called a stair pile. Everyone has a stair pile.
Yeah, how many times have you walked past that stair pile without moving the loo rolls? That's my issue. The stair pile that you never do anything about. Have you learned anything new about me from this time?
No, I don't think I've learned anything. No, I don't think so. I think because we work together, live together,
parent together.
We're together all the time. Yes, and have been for 9 years or so. So, no. What about me, though?
I've learned that you've done very well, actually.
And?
What's this hands, jazz hands, about?
Green fingers.
Oh, yeah.
You kept saying, who are you? Who did I marry? Why are you gardening?
Yeah, I didn't marry flipping Charlie Dimmock. I thought I married you, and all of a sudden you've become a gardener.
Yep, I have. Yeah, it's definitely felt harder this week not to go out. Combination of all the cherry blossom coming out and like the good weather and just ducklings and, yeah, spring, isn't it? Yeah. You want to go and see some nice signs of spring.
Who are you? Cherry blossom? Since when do you care about cherry blossom?
It's really pretty.
So we've had a week of chaos, but I guess, to be honest, there's no one else I'd rather isolate with. If you have any more ideas how we can entertain a three-year-old, keep our mental health in check, or survive DIY domestics, then please do get in touch with my producer Amy at amy.elizabeth@bbc.co.uk, because we all love to hear from you. Right, I'm off now. I think it's time to get my guitar and actually go and join Holly and Scout for some singing.